Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
This is Absolute Radio Country. I am Ben Earl, and I'm so happy to welcome one of my favorite up-and-coming country acts, one of Absolute Radio Country's class of 2025. They're one of my picks. Ellie, Powell, and Lily, the Castellos, welcome to the show. Now, last time we spoke, you just released your first EP. I mean, it looks like the last year has been a whirlwind for you.
It's been absolutely crazy. Thinking that that was a year ago is even crazier. It feels like 5 years ago, and then it feels like 2 months ago. That's insane.
So what kind of things have happened since then? I mean, it looks like you've been so busy.
Yeah, so we just got off toward the Big Town Sugarland. We wrapped that up in December, and we were out there for over 2.5 months with it. And that was our very first time ever playing in arenas. So we felt so blessed that we were included on that tour. And before that, we were just playing festivals that we never thought we'd even attend to, much less play. You know, we've released some music. We have a song coming out.
We made an opera debut this year.
It's
been crazy. This has been our first ever year touring consistently. So that's been a new, I guess, whenever we had done the last interview, we'd never consistently toured before. So we played our very first headlining shows. We played our very first arena shows. We played some crazy bucket list venues like TD Garden in Boston. And so the whole touring thing has been such a new, amazing aspect to do this whole music thing, and we'd never experienced that since the last interview.
It's so funny because I'm in a duo as well. My first tour, arena tour, was a Little Big Town as well. What was that like for you? And was there any advice they kind of gave you? What did you learn from Little Big Town on the road?
They were amazing people. They are amazing people. And we know that some tours don't get so lucky, or some openers don't get so lucky with, you know, being just put up with good people who really care about you and, you know, giving you good advice and, you know, taking care of us and our boys who really had never toured either. They were just so encouraging. And
their harmonies are amazing.
We learned so much performing-wise, too.
Performing-wise, we learned a ton. And then Sugarland, too, we learned a ton from them. They were the same. They were so kind to us. And both bands having female lead singers, you know, we're kind of in the same, I guess, setup they are. So we just learned so much from them.
No doubt.
I feel the same way with Little Big Town. They gave me my first drink of Crown as well. Never had that before. I really want to ask about your new EP in a second, but for anyone who doesn't know you, you grew up in rural Georgia in a place called Georgetown. I mean, yeah. Can you paint a picture of what your upbringing was like? Because it sounds just idyllic.
Yeah, so we actually just got back from Georgetown yesterday. We went back home for a few days, so we go home as much as we can. But it's just a little teeny tiny town in South Georgia. We grew up on a farm. You know, we grew up fishing and riding horses and driving tractors and, you know, working together on the farm was just a huge part of our upbringing. And like, we learned so much, and
we were homeschooled too. Our sweet mama's in town. She drove up with us. She's in town. She
helped
us. So being homeschooled allowed us to play instruments and, you know, do things that we never really would have had time to do had we gone to school. To set a picture of the county, it's the second smallest, poorest county in the state.
There's no stoplight.
Not even one.
Wow.
There's 2,000 people in the entire county. And
it's the best.
I did see you are on the Wikipedia page now as well. There's notable people from Georgetown. Yeah. So you've made it.
How many other people?
Were you singing together on the farms while growing up? Must have been.
Yes, we were. We were constantly playing. I play piano. Piano was my first instrument. Our grandmother taught me how to play piano. And so it was just kind of a thing to do, because I feel like people who go to school, play sports and have other hobbies like that and do extracurricular activities like that. And for us, playing music together was kind of our extracurricular activity we did.
We grew up singing and playing in church a lot and singing in our grandmother's choir.
That's so nice. It's funny you talk about the piano, because on your new EP, there's so much about it that I love on Alabama Stone, particularly the piano. But I really want to hear what it was like.
I played on those two songs.
Okay, well, I like all three of you, but what was the process of that? How was it for you guys recording that EP?
It was amazing. We recorded at a studio in Nashville called Sound Emporium. Two of them recorded together, and then Place to Leave was recorded at a different time. So, but both processes were just really seamless. I feel like we've gotten a lot more comfortable being in the studio, and the studio really is something that I probably out of the three of us love the most about
what our job is. I'm really like locked in and kind of annoying when I'm in the studio. And so just from a songwriting perspective and from a recording perspective, we're all three really proud of those songs and the way they turned out and the musicality of them for sure.
On Alabama Stone, the title track particularly, it really grabbed my attention because, don't take this the wrong way, it sounds a bit like dusty almost.
Yeah.
And like at the start, it almost sounds out of tune, but it's not. It's just that it's so real sounding compared to a lot of stuff we hear in the charts at the moment. Was that kind of a conscious thing to do, or were you just doing your thing?
You know, we like stuff to sound authentic and real, and we love playing live. We love stuff to kind of sound live. We don't use any tuners. We don't use any, you know, it's so like
we realize that raw kind of live sound. And so I really feel like, and specifically Alabama Stone, like we kind of captured that being our goal because of the modulation in the end up into the hymn, and we, you know, put some white noise in the back of it just because we kind of wanted it to feel like live.
You're coming to the UK, country to country. You're coming to London, Glasgow and Belfast. Have you been to the UK before?
First time, so we are so excited.
So what have you heard about UK country fans?
We've heard they're really amazing. We've had a lot of our artist friends have played shows overseas, and we've never been overseas or played overseas. So this is such a new experience for us. But everyone who we've talked to has been like, you're going to have the time of your lives. Country fans over there are amazing. And so we're so excited.
We all
appreciate a bunch of the bands who come over, even if you don't really know them that well, just because, you know, making the effort to go over there and like caring to go over there and tour is like really sweet to y'all. And I'm like, I wish we were like that for UK artists, you know, because I just feel like that's so, you know, because we like sharing music is such a beautiful thing, and music knows no boundaries. It's worldwide. And so I love that y'all care about country music in that way.
100%. I think also the thing, it's quite unnerving the first time you come over, because I've played in the US and played in the UK, obviously, and UK fans just kind of stare at you and listen and just don't take it, but they're really listening to every single word. Yeah,
We do this. We'll talk to each other and we'll be like, you know, we can be at the greatest concert of our life and we'll just be sitting there flat faced, because like we're musical, we like to take it in, and we'll be like, what are they doing? And I bet they think we're having a miserable time, but it can be the greatest concert and we're just like, you know,
locked in.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Yeah, and I get really frustrated with watching people who are not into it. I want their faces to be like, oh, I'm loving it, but I listen in the same way. I imagine you'll be really busy, but is there anything in the UK that you really want to do?
I just want to eat some good food. I want to see some pretty old buildings and eat some good food, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're just excited. I'm just excited to be over there and be in a new place. So it's going to be awesome.
We're not well-traveled at all.
I know, we've been to so many new places in the United States this year, and so we're excited to go to a new country.
I really want to see, I'm a big fan of Jane Austen, and
okay.
I want to see I think it's in Scotland, maybe, but the castle that is Mr. Darcy's house in the movie.
That's a great, our fiddle player has been there and has seen it, and he was like, we need to try to find this castle and go see it, and I was like, please, I love Pride and Prejudice.
That is my wife's mother's favorite author of all time, so you just scored
awesome.
Some points with her. Talking of good food, so you all worked at Chick-fil-A at one point, is that right?
We did.
Well, they're actually opening one up in Belfast very, very soon.
We'll be there by the time we get there?
I think so. I think next week it's opening.
I know. I want to taste the difference. It doesn't even taste any different.
Was that because you ever have dreamed that you'd be doing this when you're all working at Chick-fil-A, you know, one day we'll be traveling the world making music?
No, never. We never thought, you know,
I didn't think we thought we're gonna be working at Chick-fil-A. We just had no expectations for really anything. So there's five of us, five siblings, and we all five worked at Chick-fil-A at one point.
The same Chick-fil-A
because we were homeschooled, we could work like the morning shifts.
We were like the morning crew.
And when we all left to go school or whatever, we all quit. They had to shut down Chick-fil-A and to open at 11 o'clock because they didn't have any more. The morning crew.
But you've got like TikTok to thank, obviously, for your success. Obviously, you guys are so talented, but everything blew up on TikTok for you. I mean, when it kind of shut off for a few hours a couple of days ago, how did you feel? Was that just the weirdest thing?
It was definitely weird. I think I feel like there's a ton of different ways to view the whole TikTok thing. And so from like a music perspective, that definitely is hard because so many artists get discovered
on that app, and it's really kind of fundamentally changed the way the music industry works. And so it left a lot of people being like, where do I go? What do we do? And I feel like it maybe affected us a little bit less than the average artist because we blew up really on Instagram too. So it was kind of a double situation, but it just makes you think like, you know, let's control the things we can control and like focus on being the best writers, focus on being the best performers, you know, like live shows matter, you know, more than ever, especially post COVID. But it was weird though, but I'm glad we got it back for at least 90 more days.
Yeah. I mean, we put ourselves in like the shoes of, you know, people, because like Instagram really is our big thing now, not TikTok, but we first blew up on TikTok. But it was like, imagine if that was Instagram that shut down. Like, that would have been a whole different deal for us. We would have been like, oh, now what? So, no, I think it's a big deal here.
Yeah, it's interesting because I saw some artists were posting like, oh, TikTok shut down. It was like their lives have ended, you know. And for you guys, you've got both platforms. You've got the live thing as well, which I can't wait to see you live.
Thank you.
In a couple of months. I'm so excited for it. Just very quickly, you mentioned the Grand Ole Opry. You had your debut last year.
Yes.
I mean, firstly, what was that like?
It was insane. It was the most nervous I've ever been for any show ever. It was Little Big Town's night. They were hosting the Opry that night, and they announced us to go on tour with them when they, you know, introduced us. Then we first got to stand in that circle, and I don't have a tremor, but I was holding on to my sissies. I was like, what's going on? We were all so nervous for it, but I think if you're not nervous for the Opry, then
you probably don't love it.
You don't need to be playing it because it's a huge deal.
Well, it's unlike any show you ever do. And it's, you know, the venue is so iconic and the show. And so it was amazing.
It's so funny you mentioned the tremor thing because I don't have one either, but I had exactly the same reaction. My hand just started shaking.
Yeah. You played the Opry?
Yeah, years ago. Yeah,
I did love it as well. That.
It's insane. Yeah, but so nervous for no reason.
Did you grow up just dreaming of playing there one day? Was that a dream for you?
Never. We didn't really plan on doing music growing up, so like maybe if we had, it would have been, but I feel like it was
how that turns out to be a dream that we didn't know we had.
Since we moved to town, we were like, we want to play the Opry.
I think the thing we thought of growing up was, hey, we would like to go to the Opry and see a show at the Opry. So I feel like that was kind of the perspective we had on the Opry, because it wasn't, you know, the whole desire to do the thing hadn't really materialized. So I just wanted to go see a show at the Opry. I wasn't even thinking about playing it. So it makes it even cooler.
I was the same as you guys. I mean, I didn't grow up listening to country music. So when I went to that, you know, I wasn't really nervous. And I got in that dressing room, the Into the Circle one. And I looked around and I was like, oh, this is a really, really, really big deal.
Big deal.
And then you walk into that circle and you're like, oh, this is a huge deal. And I was just so, I'm so excited for you guys though. I really, really
Thank
am.
So
what's next? What's next on the agenda 2025?
So I feel like the agenda is almost the same as whenever we did this last interview. We're trying to put out more music. We're going to play as many shows as we can. We're going on tour with Thomas Rhett this summer, which is going to be so fun. A show at Fenway Park in Boston just got announced.
Wow.
That's the first time we'll have ever done a stadium like that. And for an iconic place like Fenway, for it to be Fenway as the first one is really, really cool. So we're gonna lose our
mind. How many people will that be? Is it 70,000 or something? Or
it's a baseball stadium, so it's probably gonna be less. I think the cap is like 40, but they have to outfit it for a concert stage, so it depends on what the stage setup is. But I think generally it's about 40.
How does that make you feel?
Nervous, but really excited. We're gonna have fun.
I know you'll rock it. I'm so sure you'll rock it. Honestly, thank you so much for chatting to me. Well, I'll see you in March. Yeah.
All right, see you in March.
Cool. See you later. Bye-bye, bye-bye.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.